Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Ginny Dent Brandt, is a speaker and writer who has served as a counselor, educator, wellness advocate, and an adjutant professor. She served as a trustee of the Baptist International Mission Board for 8 years, and she and her husband participated in mission work in Yemen, Gaza, the Czech Republic, Russia, China, and Romania. Ginny is the author of Unleash Your God-Given Healing, 8 Steps to Prevent and Survive Cancer. Good morning, Ginny. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning, and thanks for having me on your show.
Ginny, it's a pleasure. I've heard some wonderful things about your book, and we're going to be discussing a topic today that is of such great importance, and sadly not only to women as far as breast cancer anymore, but some men are also being diagnosed.
For listeners who are not aware, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
First of all, would you tell us about your cancer diagnosis and how it affected you emotionally and spiritually?
Well, to be perfectly honest, it came at a very tough time during my life. I got the diagnosis just 4 months after my mother had passed from breast cancer. And so my sister and I knew the horrors I would face. So it was devastating. I was in shock. But I also knew that when I was doing my research that this cycle of fear and worry, it's just like a roller coaster ride that cancer patients go through, that if you live that way, it's not going to help your body to heal and get back on top. So I realized very quickly I had to get off the roller coaster ride of fear and worry and use my faith to manage my emotions. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't have times of fear with certain medical procedures that had to be done to me and times of worry, but I wasn't living in that realm every day. And so that made a huge difference in my prognosis, where you're just sitting there literally depending on your faith and not this roller coaster ride.
Ginny, I can identify a little bit with what you're talking about. Praise God, I have never had any issues with cancer personally. Well, my dad had cancer, but it's my personal body, I've never had cancer. But I did have an experience with a sciatica, which is extremely painful. And as I was getting over that, I can remember thinking my fear and anxiety is driving that pain. My fear that I'm never going to get over this, and I understand what you mean, and that one can feed on the other to the point where it becomes a vicious cycle.
Definitely.
Once diagnosed, you began researching cancer. Tell us what sources you used and what did you learn?
Well, I used the Bible. I started looking for what God said about our health and taking care of our body. I researched nutrition. I went to cancer conferences around the country where doctors gathered to lecture, and I also went to medical seminars online. And then I connected all the dots between all of these and how God created our amazing immune system to work basis. And the whole goal in writing the book was to connect the dots between all of these, because I also looked at thousands of hours of medical research to see what was the research saying. And the research is showing clearly that, you know, what we do is 90% of why we're diagnosed with cancer. Only 10% is genetics.
That is a very fascinating fact, Ginny, that I myself did not know. So thank you for sharing that. You received chemotherapy, but you also implemented some lifestyle changes on your own. And for me, having worked in the medical profession for my career, I'd like to know, how did the medical community react to that?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I didn't get much pushback from the medical community. Of course, I was treated at a cancer hospital who was big on integrating all these holistic methods with my cancer treatment. So I didn't get any pushback from them. My home doctor, most of the doctors I know were behind me all the way. And this is the most amazing thing. I went to a Duke University medical school oncologist who I consider to be one of the top in the Southeast for a second opinion to see if I could lessen any of the amount of chemo I was being given. Because to me, less chemo is better, if at all possible.
Yes.
And he looked at me and he said, you've just received your fourth chemo in Chicago yesterday. You walked 2 miles this morning and you're standing in front of me bald as a bat. And you have a smile on your face and you look like you feel perfectly fine. And I said, I do. And he said, the chemo regimen you're on, I've never had a cancer patient be able to stand or get up out of the bed after the fourth chemo. So he looked at me and he said, what are you doing differently? And he literally held his entire waiting room up while I explained some of the things I was doing. And he was genuinely did. Now, little did I know, but after I left his office, he was so interested, he began to research some of the things I was telling him. And he convinced the hospital system, which covers a good part of South Carolina, to invest in a cancer prevention and wellness center that would do research for the NIH that would help pay for the center while helping patients to prevent their cancer from coming back, helping them to get through the journey and helping people to prevent cancer in the first place. And I talked to the two nurses that he got trained. They were nurse practitioners that helped him with the program. He now runs that program. And they told me, yes, everything in your book, this is what we learned. So it's just amazing to me that a cancer prevention and wellness center was started because this oncologist wanted everything he could give his cancer patients, not just chemo, surgery, and radiation.
Jenny, that is so wonderful. Isn't it amazing the way that God has used you in that way? I mean, my goodness, how many people have probably been positively impacted by that, by your innovation and in doing all of the research and implementing what you did and then sharing it. So I think that is just wonderful. So tell us, what were some of the things that you did?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I'll give you one as an example. Exercise was key from the moment I was diagnosed with cancer. My husband prayed over me and we went for a long walk to relieve the stress. Cancer is a journey of stress. And so when it got to surgery, after my first surgery, I had a lot of stitches. And the nurses told me, they said, if you can get up out of this bed by tomorrow morning and walk 4 rounds of the hospital floor, we can remove the catheter and get some of this equipment off of you. And I said, sure thing. So the next morning, I walked the 4 rounds, and it felt so good. I walked 2 miles that day on the hospital floor, pulling my tubes and medical apparatus behind me on a pole. Some people say I was pole dancing, and I was kind of dancing in a way because it felt so good. And when I got back to my room, the nurses were cheering me on, and my doctor and my other medical personnel came in, and they said, you would not believe what you've done for your body. You have just pumped the anesthesia out of your system. All those tubes that are coming from your breast that we were going to send you home with for your husband to babysit for 2 weeks, very carefully, we're pulling all those tubes today. We're letting you go home early. You have promoted healing in your own body by walking. Now, I wouldn't advise someone to walk after surgery if they didn't have the energy and the balance, but the point was I did have the energy and the balance. So then when it came to chemotherapy, the one thing in life I did not want to do, I decided that that helped relieve stress so much and benefited me so much after surgery, I would walk 2 miles before and after every chemotherapy. And my chemotherapy regimen is the worst known to mankind and lasted 8 hours. And so I was able to do that for each chemo and walk 2 to 3 miles every day in between. And it was, to me, it was relieving stress. When I finish with the chemo and I finish with flying colors and the normal side effects that people have, including your red and white blood cells plummeting so far down you might need a blood transfusion, I escaped all that. And my doctors called me their rock star cancer patient, but nobody understood why I had done so well until research came out in Australia several years later showing that exercise is the best thing a cancer patient can do. And if exercise were a pill, it should be prescribed to every cancer patient worldwide. And the reasons are, number one, it helps prevent cancer. Number two, it helps the cancer patient to get through the treatments. And number three, it helps prevent the cancer from coming back. And then, 2 years after that, MD Anderson did their own research with mice and found that the mice that were on a moderate exercise routine daily fared better going through the chemo and the chemo targeting their cancer.
That is fantastic information, Jenny, and wow.
Well, think about what that means. For chemotherapy, for years and years and years, what have patients done when they get chemotherapy? They go home and they lay in the bed all week.
Yeah.
That is one of the worst things you can do. What you need to do, if you can, you can only do what you can when you can. But if
right.
you move before the chemo, then you're able to move after the chemo. And by moving, you're pumping your lymphatic system to help to get the chemo to every cancer cell. And then once it does its kill job, you are removing those toxins from your body. Your lymphatic system is your trash disposal system, and it's one of the only systems in your body that only works when you move. So now guess what they're starting to tell cancer patients because of all this research? Move if you can after chemo. And I tell all of my patients that I mentor, move it, move it, move it. If you can, move 3 times a day. I mean, I was just constantly moving. And I even have cancer patients that are avid runners. And they say, well, you think I can still run? And I go, yeah, do what you can when you can. If you're too nauseous and you don't have the balance, don't run. But most of my cancer patients that run normally are continuing to run during chemo. And they're faring very well because of it.
That's wonderful, Jenny. In the past, it was go home and get your rest.
That's right. And you do want proper rest, because your body, when you rest and go into deep sleep, melatonin goes off in your body. And melatonin is a hormone that's a major immune enhancer and cancer fighter. So you want to be fighting cancer from the inside with your own body while your doctor is fighting it from the outside with conventional methods. You want to have both going at the same time, because you're going to fare better.
Yes, I love that concept. We'll take a break here, where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest is author Jenny Dent Brandt. Jenny is the author of Unleash Your God-Given Healing, 8 Steps to Prevent and Survive Cancer. If you would like to listen to this episode again, or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheen.com. That's spelled PattySheene.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to all of the episodes we have aired to date. Under each episode is a more information tab. It provides links to guest website, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview. Jenny, as you know, we have been through a COVID-19 pandemic. I'm hearing on the news that they're saying that we're seeing close to the end of it, praise God. However, the fact remains that COVID-19 and these other viruses will always be around. So other than exercise, what steps can we take to prevent against these illnesses? How can we boost that immune system?
Well, what you eat is important to your immune system. And I learned this during the cancer journey, and it's so powerful. Every plant that God created, whether it's an herb, a spice, a fruit, a vegetable, nuts, seed, bean, legumes, all of these things boost the immune system, and they all help fight cancer. Now, some are stronger than others, but it's important that you eat as many plants as possible when it comes to cancer, when it comes to heart disease, when it comes to preventing dementia, and when you're fighting flus and viruses such as COVID-19. The one research that was clear on COVID-19 is that people that ate more of a plant plant-based diet fared better. They didn't get the more severe cases of COVID. And then people that ate the standard American diet, you know, meat, processed foods, junk foods, fried foods, all these things, these people tended to get more severe cases of COVID-19. So what we eat matters. The fact that we move during COVID-19 is important too, because everyone was becoming sedentary. Potato chip sales were soaring because people were sitting on their couch eating junk food in fear. And all of these things only made COVID worse. So the best thing you could do during COVID is to move every day, whether you walked around your own yard or you walked on your side of the street and kept away from your neighbors. The point is, your body needed to move. Your body needed to hydrate. You needed to eat healthy foods. And you also needed to get deep sleep at night so that melatonin can go off and your body can heal and restore and detox itself when you sleep.
That all makes sense. And once again, this is all God ordained. He planned it this way.
I learned during the cancer journey, and I never knew this before, that our body was created to heal and regenerate on a daily basis. And it makes perfect sense right now. And our body was made to detect and kill cancer cells on a daily basis. It's like we have this surveillance system, and then it goes and attacks. But if our immune system becomes suppressed, and that can be due to emotions, fear, and worry, it can be due to our diet, it can be due to the sedentary lifestyle, or just simply not hydrating properly, then our immune system is not going to work as God intended. So all these things are important in keeping that immune system as high as possible. And of course, during a pandemic, you want to build your immune system and keep it functioning as God intended. And we were not doing that, and nobody on the news was telling you how to do that. I was doing a lot of interviews at that time, and I was telling people about proper hydration and what to eat and movement and all these things, but, you know, they weren't hearing that many places. All they were hearing is, you know, stay inside, stay away from people, wash your hands. All these things are good, but some people had to be out in the public. My husband, my son, you know, had jobs where they were constantly out being exposed, and there was nothing they could do about it. You know, doctors and nurses were constantly out there and being exposed. So they're going to wear the protective gear, but they're going to have to do everything they can to keep their immune systems high, knowing they're going to be exposed. And if they get it, they don't want to get a severe case. The severity related to whether you had underlying conditions and whether your immune system was strong or not.
And that surprised me, because I was diagnosed with COVID and I didn't think that I was that healthy of an eater, but I didn't get that sick. So maybe I'm doing things right more than I think I am, Jenny.
Well, I'll tell you, my husband and I both got it and we didn't know that we had it, because we didn't get any major symptoms besides loss of appetite. And, you know, that was, and so we knew something was dragging on our body, but we didn't know what it was at first, because we heard all these terrible symptoms and we weren't getting those, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, not everyone got a terrible case of COVID. And, you know, once we got COVID, then our immune system helps protect you from getting it again. And for a good year and a half, we were constantly exposed and didn't get it again, because our body, you know, our natural immune system was working and protecting us. But as the variant kept changing rapidly, then even natural immunity and even the vaccines were not as effective. And that happens with the flu shot. If it changes, you know, from year to year, then the flu vaccine is not as effective. So that was that's one of the problems with COVID. Getting COVID gave us good protection for a year and a half. But then as the variant changed drastically, our protection wasn't as good. And neither was the vaccine protecting as well. So, you know, the best thing you can do is keep your immune system functioning as God intended, so that if you do get it, you don't get such a horrible case.
And I'm going to share this just quick. As I said, I did not have that bad of a case of COVID. My main thing was a runny nose and fatigue. Afterwards was my problem. I never had a taste or smell issue at all during my quarantine. I never had any issue with that. It was afterwards that I developed this horrible smell of smoke. Like, it was so bad, I thought that something in my house was smoldering. And I finally researched that, and I found out it's called parosmia, and it's very common. And I had that for, oh my goodness, I want to say 5 or 6 months after COVID, after I was over COVID. So if anyone develops that, it's a real thing.
Yeah. There were some long-haul effects of COVID.
Yeah.
Different in different people. Some people felt fatigue for quite some time.
Yes.
And some people did not get their taste and smell back for quite some time.
A long time.
So, yeah.
Ginny, I noticed on your website you talk about spices that boost the immune system. Can you share with us what those best spices are for that purpose?
Yes, but let me say this, that all plants in God's kingdom prevent cancer, as I said. They all reduce inflammation, and they all build your immune system. But the ones that are the strongest, I'd have to put at the top of the list garlic. And then turmeric would come next, because they're both anti-inflammatory. Anything that reduces inflammation allows the immune system to work as God intended. And cancer is linked to chronic inflammation, not inflammation that comes and goes, that helps your body to heal, but when it is chronic, that can lead to cancer. So it's important to get on top of the inflammation. So garlic, turmeric, and ginger, and cinnamon, I would say, are probably the top four. And then there are foods that build the immune system, and probably the top two would be blueberries and mushrooms. So my husband and I eat a cup of blueberries every day in our chocolate banana blueberry smoothie, because blueberries cut off blood supply to cancer tumors. They build the immune system. They're good for your heart and your lungs and your kidney and the endothelial lining of your blood vessels, which enhances your heart and brain health. So blueberries are just a superfood all around. And so you start looking at some of these, you know, when you really study the plants that God has given us, and you start looking at how can I use these on an everyday basis to increase my health, I use herbs and spices like crazy now, and I make sure that blueberries and greens and certain foods are in my intake every day because of what they do for the immune system.
That's some very interesting facts to know. Ginny, and I agree with you about blueberries. I love them. One of our churches has a drive every year where they sell all different kinds of berries. I don't know where they get them from, but they order them. And I get like a 14-pound box, and it lasts me quite a while. And, blueberries are one of my favorites. And a blueberry-strawberry combination is really my favorite.
Oh, yeah. All berries are powerful, but wild blueberries are probably the most powerful, but yes, all berries are great for the immune system. Well, as I said before, I started on that roller coaster ride of fear and worry, and I realized very quickly that I had to start using my faith to manage my emotions, because it would promote healing in my body. And I never went through this phase of a lot of people blame God when they're diagnosed with cancer. How could you do this to me? How could you let this happen to me? I looked at it from what I had already studied about my dad, who died from Alzheimer's disease. And what did I discover? 90% of dementia and Alzheimer's is caused from lifestyle. And my dad had the perfect lifestyle to help create this disease that he suffered from for 10 years. So I looked deep inside and I said, Lord, what have I done that didn't allow my immune system to work as you intended? Please show me what I need to change. And that was the attitude that I looked at everything with. And as I began to research, he began to show me things in his word. some things that he showed me I would have never known had he not just kind of revealed it to me. It looked like by accident to me, but it was just like me discovering that these high levels of toxins were in my body. I didn't know those toxic levels could be tested. He opened the door for me to be a part of a clinical trial study, and they started following my toxic load as I started to detox. And I had no idea that all these high-level endocrine-disrupting hormones had taken residence in my body and were at high levels. I couldn't have figured that out on my own. It's like God just allowed that to unravel so I could see this. And so, you know, I was grateful when I realized that, you know, God was going to use this for good in my life and for his purposes, and he certainly has. And
yes.
When I realized that my body could go through all these harsh chemicals and go through all of these treatments and surgeries, and I could actually come out on the other side and be healthy and strong again if I did the right things to enhance it, because he created our body to heal on an everyday basis. So instead of anger, I was really grateful for the way that God created our body to heal and that I had a chance at a healthy life again. And so, you know, gratitude was the rule of the day rather than being angry at God for doing this to me.
Jenny, I really liked at the beginning of the show when we talked about your research where you said that one of the first resources you went to was the Bible. And it sounds like God gave you the discernment and he opened your eyes to what you needed to see in his word. And that is always so amazing when he does that for anyone. So thank you for sharing that with us. Well, you have stated that we are living in an estrogenic world. What does that mean, and what can we do about it?
Well, I was shocked when a Canadian cancer coach told me that at one of these cancer conventions. I couldn't figure out why I got an estrogen-fed cancer that I had none of the 8 risk factors for, and they did extensive genetic testing, and I didn't have any genetic factors either. It made no sense to me. It made no sense to my doctors. And Alicia Morales, my cancer coach that I met, she said, "Jenny, we live in an estrogenic world. Did you not know that?" I said, "What is she talking about?" Well, as I continued to research what she was saying, I realized that estrogenic chemicals, they're called xenoestrogens, and they mimic the role of estrogen in the body, are coming in through our water, through the air we breathe, through the foods we eat, and through all of these personal care products that we clean our house with and put on our skin. And again, when I did this clinical trial study with this sauna company, they measured my toxic chemicals, and the estrogen-mimicking chemicals were at ultra-high levels in my body. And that's when I showed it to my doctors, and they said, "Bingo, this is a huge reason why you got an estrogen-fed cancer. We've now found a major risk factor that the American Cancer Society is just now starting to mention might be a problem. Breastcancer.org is starting to mention it. But it's clear to me, and it's clear to my oncologist, my gynecologist, and the doctors that I know have all come behind me and said, yes, what you talk about here in your book about these toxic chemicals and these xenoestrogens is helping to drive many estrogen-fed cancers along with our own body's estrogen. Just like you mentioned at the beginning of this, even men are getting estrogen-fed breast cancer, not as many as women. But 90% of the men who get breast cancer are estrogen-fed, and that makes no sense at all until you look at how these chemicals are coming into our body.
Yes.
Yes. And boy, that's kind of scary because a large part of the population is not even aware. And thank goodness people are becoming more aware, thanks to people like you. But, you know, the average...
Well, and that's why, you know, I didn't want to write a book on cancer. I didn't want to talk about it. And as I started learning all these things, I kept saying, I have to talk about this. I have to get the guts to write a book and educate people, because I really don't want anybody to not know this and to get stuck in this situation I was stuck in, where they keep opening the doors. What's behind door number one treatment and door number two and door number three? And I kept saying, when is this going to stop? I don't want anybody to have to be in the chair where they roll those toxic bags of chemicals to infuse into your precious body. That was not the highest moment of my life. I learned how to do it and do it effectively, but I would rather have never put those chemicals in my body. So I can hopefully prevent someone else from having to do that, or help other people to get through the journey. And another thing I've done is I've started a cancer prevention and wellness blog, where I post weekly about the things I continue to learn about cancer and keeping your immune system strong. And you can go to my website at jennybrandt.com and sign up for that.
Oh, I would love to do that, and I'm sure that our listeners would too. Thank you for sharing that, Jenny. And I think, you know, listening to you talk about this, the scary thing is that in trying to get this information out to people, on the other hand, we're always fighting that, what is it, the American commercialism thing. You know, people are always pushing these products at us, advertising on TV all the time, and for cleaning products and all these things. And they're not going to tell you what the negative is, just like they didn't with tobacco years ago, you know? And unless somebody is going to take the time to do the research and read a book like yours, how are they ever going to know? And I think that's the fight that we're fighting here.
It is the fight, because there's a lot of things advertised on television that are not good for you, and most of the things we put on our skin are not good for us. But I do give a list in my book of the changes that I made, and some of them are no more expensive. And that's always a good thing to be able to share with people, that you can use coconut oil in your skin, and it has zero chemicals, zero parabens, zero phthalates, zero xenoestrogens, and it's only good for your skin. And it's less expensive than a lot of moisturizers, you know? So those are the kind of the things that I share in the book to help people to make some of those same changes. And it's step by step. I didn't do all this overnight.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's a process, I'm sure, Jenny. And I'd also like to know, you have participated in mission work in several foreign countries. How does the incidence of cancer rate in the United States as compared to other countries? Are they battling the same thing, or...
Well, cancer is a threat worldwide, but in being in China and some of these other countries, China is one of the most toxic countries in the world, as well as India. The air is simply not clean, and they don't do things to protect people from chemicals. They are just really, really bad. So the United States still has one of the highest cancer rates in the world, but China has one of the highest mortality rates from cancer in the world. We are kind of exporting our lifestyle around the world to other countries, and other countries want to be like us. And what I have to say to a lot of the people I mentor on the phone that have moved here from another country is, go back to how you grew up in your other country, what you ate. They ate straight from the ground, fresh foods. I said, that's what you need to go back to. Our junk food that we've exported to the world is not doing anybody any favors. And I did ask this question at a cancer and Alzheimer's research convention, and they said we had higher rates than developed countries like in Europe. We had higher rates than Far Eastern countries, and even higher rates of cancer and dementia and Alzheimer's than third world countries. But third world countries have all these other problems of their own, you know. But the point is, you know, we are one of the wealthiest countries in the world and most educated. We should be doing far better. We are 30th in longevity as far as countries in the world. We are not number one in longevity, and our longevity is starting to decline a little bit in the past few years. And a lot of that is due to our lifestyle. Now, a lot of things that we can do medically has allowed us to live longer.
Yes.
But our lifestyle is the biggest factor that impacts longevity, and we're not rating really high on that.
I wondered how we compared to other countries. Are they not as bad about promoting all these junk food items and things as we are? And I really didn't know.
Well, I did know that some of my friends who were missionaries in France, when they tried to put a McDonald's in France, a certain area of France, the people got up and rebelled against it, said, don't bring your junk food here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got back from, I was 4 weeks in Scandinavia, and they really promote organic foods, clean energy, wholesome cosmetics. The European Union itself has banned about 1,300 chemicals for use in personal care products. We haven't done that here in the United States.
No.
It's just kind of open door policy. You know, they can use whatever chemicals they want. And when you realize, as we said, that 60 to 70% of what you put on your skin gets into your bloodstream without a filter because your liver is not involved, then this is how a lot of these chemicals are getting into our bodies.
Well, on your website, Jenny, you have a tribute to Olivia Newton-John. Would you tell us why she was special to you?
Well, I did not know her personally, but at these cancer conventions that I went to, I sat under the teaching of her husband, John Easterling. And John is an expert in Amazon herbs. Now, Olivia was diagnosed with cancer, I believe it was the first time in 1992, and then it cropped back up several times, eventually came back as a stage 4 cancer. Once it's stage 4, you have limited time left on earth. Her husband, John, kept her alive with integrative medicines and herbs and kept her comfortable, and she ended up living to 2022. The thing I love about Olivia, like me, she researched. She was very strong in the integrative field and bringing that to the people of Australia. She actually helped to fund a cancer center outside of Melbourne that used the conventional, just like I got at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, with the integrative. So what Cancer Treatment Centers of America has brought for people in America who are interested, she brought to Australia through her cancer center, which is named after her.
Again, isn't it wonderful the way that people like you and like her stretch themselves to share with other people?
Well, she made a profound influence because she was so famous because of her music and her albums,
yeah,
which have sold millions. So she was really able to have quite a huge impact.
Yes, and so have you. I think so have you, Jenny, in ways that you probably don't even realize now.
Someday well, I hope and pray so, because I don't want anybody to go down the road that I have been through. If I can prevent anyone from going through it or help them to get through it, then that gives me joy, because it was a difficult journey and long treatments, and it's just something you want. Cancer is so prevalent today in our society that they're predicting it's about 1 in 2 now as far as risk of getting cancer. They're predicting by 2030 it may go up to 1 in 1, meaning everyone will have cancer at some time in their lifetime. And that might be one or more different cancers, and they might be little cancers or they might be stage 4 cancers. But the point is, with the risk factors going as they are, you've got to put a cancer prevention and health plan in place. And that's what my book helps you to do, and it's called Unleash Your God-Given Healing, because if you follow the 8 keys in the book and make them a part of your life, you're less likely to get cancer, to get all these diseases, because your immune system will function as God intended.
And that's the key right there. And if you do get cancer, like today, your book also, the subtitle for that is 8 Steps to Prevent and Survive Cancer. So,
right.
Yes.
I learned that there's a way to get through these toxic treatments and fare better. There are no guarantees in the cancer journey that your own doctor can even stop your cancer. But if you're doing everything you can to help what your doctor's doing, you're going to fare better.
Yes, definitely. Well, Jenny, thank you for sharing so much with us. Is there any final thoughts that you would like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I would say, you know, don't just expect your doctor to do everything with your health. A lot of people are putting everything on their doctor today, and the doctors are working, many of them, very hard. Always look at what you can do to help your doctor to prevent heart disease and Alzheimer's and cancer. It is not all on them, because you control one thing they have no control over, and that is your lifestyle. And all these diseases are pretty much 90% lifestyle and only 10% genetics. So you hold a lot of the keys in your hand if you will implement some very sound steps that build your immune system and keep it working as God intended rather than suppressing it.
Well, Jenny, this has been a wonderful interview. Thank you so much for sharing with us. As you know, the premise of this show is for my guests to share a dark time and how they found their way back to light. And you certainly have done that for us today, because cancer is a very dark, depressing, despairing diagnosis. So the fact that you have shared so much with us as to what a person can do to prevent cancer, and if a person gets cancer, how to possibly generate healing, and especially with the God-given abilities that we do have in our bodies. So thank you so very much for taking the time to be with us today.
It was a joy. Thanks so much for having me.
And may God bless you and your in all of your future endeavors with your research and all that you do to reach people. Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheene.com. That's spelled pattysheene.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheene. Until next time, God bless you.